Okay, so grade school children that way, and Nori's taking a preschool, so 3 and 4 year olds this way. All right, awesome. Is this not working still? I'm doing both ways with the mute button. It's the other way. Is there an internal on-off switch? All right, we're not using this one. See if this is going to. Okay. All right. Well, while we're working on some technical things, David, the DVD's, the CD's going, right? We good with that? Okay. All right. I got to tell you, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, that we need to worship. We really do. And tonight was just so good for me. And I got to tell you, it started actually before before worship. I was in the back. There were some people back there drumming and interceding, and I kind of went back there and soaked in that. And in fact, I've asked them tonight when I'm finish up here if they would come and do more of that, because there's something. There's this breakthrough that is happening, and here's the thing. You know, a couple of weeks ago, most of you in this room know that Lonnie's beloved son, Lonnie Jr., went to be with Jesus, and while we totally, completely, 100% celebrate with him, because he is with Jesus face to face, the reality is that there's a little bit of deflating that goes on. There's a little bit of, especially if you're one of those that really was fighting for him in his struggle against cancer. Lonnie was 17. He is now eternally, what do you call, what would be his age? I don't know, because he's eternal now. He's eternally young. So, but he was 17 when he left this body, his body, to be with Jesus. And so, you know, the last couple of weeks, I know Lonnie, because I've talked with him. He's been doing remarkably well. Lonnie Sr., his dad, just supernatural joy flooding him, and that is amazing. That's a sign and a wonder. I know that I haven't felt like huge discouragement, but on the other hand, for the last couple of weeks, it's just been kind of lower energy, or, you know, just. And you could, the goodness of the Lord is that, as you can see, even in worship, he's just drawn us up and drawn us up. But the reality is that we know God is good. We know that he's for us. We know a lot of things, but there's a whole lot of other things we don't know. There's a lot of questions we don't have answers to. Especially those why questions. And what we have learned is that sometimes life just hurts. And in fact, everybody in this room knows that. That there are disappointments and there are hurts that come along with this life of victory that we also have in Christ. And so that's kind of the dichotomy. There is this victory, and at the same time, yeah. Victory in Jesus. And at the same time, there are these hurts along the way. And it's kind of with that in mind that this last week, I was in that place, and again, it's like I don't know how to explain this really well, because I want to try to hit those of you who maybe weren't feeling or aren't feeling super discouraged, but it's just not quite clicking. I want to encourage you that we actually have a choice to encourage ourselves in the Lord and to worship Him. And in fact, we have to. Because the more we start to feel dead, the longer we stay in that dead place, the deader we get. And the Lord's right there, and He's so willing to meet with us. But it is a choice that we have to choose to do whatever it takes to take that time with Him. And a couple days ago, I was in that place and just being really honest before God, and He was coming to meet me in a very special way. And while I was doing that, I was actually reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, and that's what started to encourage me. And so that's where we're going tonight. I want to do a little bit of this just to kind of take you along a little bit on this journey with me. But again, like I said, we're gonna look at 1 Peter. And my title is the truth that we have to keep remembering. You know, when sometimes things don't always go the way you want to, a lot of times you're asking yourself, or I ask myself sometimes, what's it really all about? You know, should we still keep praying these dangerous prayers like Solange was just praying? Well, the answer is absolutely. Even if we don't always see the outcome that we're asking for. But there is something greater going on, and it is all about Jesus being known for who He is through us. And I'm going to show you a little bit of that as we look at 1 Peter. So we're going to start right from the beginning. This is actually from the Message Bible, but just start to get encouraged. If you need encouragement, I will tell you this, even as I'm reading this, it's your choice to be encouraged. Like, let yourself be encouraged. Sometimes we just want to be, I want to be grumpy. I just want to be whatever. That's fine. But if you don't want to be anymore, let yourself be encouraged. In other words, let the Spirit start coming in. Holy Spirit, would you come in and touch our hearts and begin to encourage us more and more? So this is Peter. He says, I, Peter, am an apostle on assignment by Jesus, the Messiah, writing to exiles scattered to the four winds. Now I want to stop right here to tell you, Peter is writing to people who have been kicked out of their homeland and sent, for most of them, for the first time ever, into a place they have never known before. Everything they knew was ripped away from them. I just want you to get that much of a picture to understand that, yes, we all go through things. And Peter's writing to people who are going through some stuff. Big time stuff being ripped away from them. They don't know whether they're going back home or not. Everything they knew is gone. But this is what he says to them. He says, not one of you is missing. Not one is forgotten. God the Father has His eye on each of you and has determined by the work of the Spirit to keep you obedient through the sacrifice of Jesus. That's amazing right there. Just in case you didn't get that. God the Father has His eye on each one of you and He's determined by the work of the Spirit to keep you obedient through the sacrifice of Jesus. May everything good from God be yours. And as I was reading this, I began again to take in and soak in and agree with the goodness of God. He is so very good. His plans are so good. Here's the second verse, but this time in the New Jerusalem Bible. It says, we are chosen in the foresight of God the Father to be made holy by the Spirit, obedient to Jesus Christ, and sprinkled with His blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. This is what he's saying to people who are going through it. Who are going through some big time stuff, who are really discouraged, who are not knowing what the future holds. He says to them, hey, you are chosen. I want you to remember something. He says, you're chosen, you're chosen, you are chosen. You're His. Now, I want to, if anyone in this room has a question of, well, how can I know that I'm chosen? This is my answer to you. You're here. And I'm not talking about in this building at Blazing Fire. I'm saying you're here on the earth because you have a Father who created you to be with Him forever. I am absolutely 100% convinced that your Father in heaven, your daddy, did not create you, nor would He create you to be apart from Him. That would never, that He wouldn't do that. He would not make you in order for you to be apart from Him. That makes you chosen. You're chosen by Him. He wants you. He adores you. And He has said, you know, sometimes we talk a lot, of course, about the grace and the goodness and the you know, the forgiveness of God, which is 100% true. But He also has always, it's always been His plan to have set apart ones, ones that are, that He makes holy through His Holy Spirit, so that you stand out, it says in Philippians, like stars in the universe. That's always been His plan. I want you to stand out. I want you to be holy as I am holy. Now, if you've read that in the past, apart from the covenant of grace, that's a big, oh boy, how am I supposed to be holy as God is holy? No, you're not supposed to be. He says, be who you are. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the Holy Spirit in you. But holiness is very, extremely important to God. So He says, I've chosen you to do this. Because that issue of being chosen, of being accepted, of being wanted is so big, I just wanted to, for a second, just stop right here and kind of go after this. Because what the enemy does is he puts these seeds of rejection in us, which is nothing more than a huge lie from the pit of hell. You're rejected. You're not wanted. You're not good enough. I almost hate saying the words, but those are the lies. And to the degree that we believe any of that, sometimes from voices along the way, sometimes our own parents, people that should have been encouraging us, sometimes said just the opposite. Well, I want to just stop and tell you that you are wanted. You've always been wanted. From before the foundation of the earth, God had you in mind. You were never an afterthought. Never. He made you just the way He wanted. He is astounded by what He made when He made you. He looks at you in awe. It's true. Because you're made in His image. It makes sense because we look at the Lord in awe. And He says, yeah, and I made you in My image. You're amazing. So I take my authority in Christ. And I break off any spirit of rejection that would try to rip you off and rob you from the glory that is yours, from the peace that is yours, from the joy that is yours in Christ. And I declare over you that you belong. You belong. You belong. You belong. I want you to say it. I belong. I belong. I belong to my Father in heaven who has always wanted me. That is true. That's the truth. That's how you encourage yourself in the Lord. And I understand that sometimes when that lie is really deep, you know, it's a process. And of course it is. There's a lot of times where it's a process of getting all that old yuck out of you. That thing that just says you're not worth it. That it's all got to go. And in fact, in a little bit, I'm going to talk about that refining process. But that's part of what He's burning out of us. Sometimes we get scared about refining, like, oh no, this is going to hurt. Well, yeah, it does sometimes. But I want to tell you, He's getting rid of all the stuff, all the yuck that is just robbing you of who you are. Robbing you of the joy of being His. And it goes on. This is Peter. He's encouraging people who are going through some stuff, who are discouraged. He says to them, hey, remember what a God we have and how fortunate we are to have him, this Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead. All right, now we're getting to the key issue here. He's bringing him back to the truth. He's saying, you've got to remember something, no matter what you're discouraged about. Let's get back to the truth. Jesus was raised from the dead. And so we've been given a brand new life. And we have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. Would you repeat that? The future starts now. That's right. Right now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you will have it all. Life healed and whole. You understand that that's the Lord told us to pray. And earlier we sang, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done. We're told to pray that. And as we do, as we actually step out, just as Solange shared earlier, we see the kingdom breaking forth. But we also know that it's here in part. We know that it's coming more and more and more. It has to, because Jesus said he came to bring his Father's kingdom. But we also know at this point we haven't seen the fullness of all that's been promised. But I will tell you that today we're closer to that fullness than any other day in history. I will tell you that tomorrow will be closer to that fullness than we are tonight. We're drawing closer to the fulfillment of everything that Christ purchased for us. Here's 1 Peter verse 6. I'm going to read it in two different translations. This is in the New Jerusalem Bible. This is a great joy to you. So what we just said is a great joy to you, even though for a short time yet, you must bear all sorts of trials. There you go. There's the dichotomy right there. Great joy, because everything's yours. Jesus did it all. You're wanted. You belong to the Father. Oh, and there's going to be trials along the way. And in the Message Bible, I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. So let's look at this for a minute. Let's look at this aggravation, these trials. And there you are, by the way. We are called earthenware pots. Did you know that? In 2 Corinthians 4, I'm going to get back to Peter in just a minute, but I'm taking a little detour here. It says, it's not ourselves that we are proclaiming, but Christ Jesus as the Lord. So again, especially when things start happening to discourage us, I want you to keep remembering this really is all about Jesus. Lonnie is a prime example here of how Jesus gets the glory. Not because, I mean, obviously he's going through something he wishes he never would have to go through. However, because of how he's going through it, because of how he's walking through this trial, Jesus is getting massive glory. Massive glory through you, Lonnie. Massive glory. So it says, it's not ourselves that we're proclaiming, but it's Christ Jesus as the Lord. It's God who said, let light shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to enlighten them with the foreknowledge of God's glory. The glory on the face of Christ. So before I go on, the very glory on the face of Christ is ours. That very glory, that same glory on the face of Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father right now, that glory is ours. But here's that other side. We hold this treasure, this amazing, immense treasure, in pots of earthenware. So that, there's a reason for it, these cracked pots, so that the immensity of the power is God's and not our own. Do you know why he does that? Because God knows that if we could take the credit for it, we would. If we could take the credit for measuring up, for being good enough for the glory, we would. But he says, nope, it's purely a gift of grace. We know that from Ephesians 2. So the immensity of the power is God's and not our own. We are subjected to every kind of hardship, but never distressed. We see no way out, but we never despair. We are pursued, but we are never cut off. We are knocked down, but we still have some life in us. Now, I want to tell you, if you're thinking, well, you know what? Sometimes I feel despair. Sometimes I feel distressed. You know what Paul's doing here? He is stating this as a prophetic truth for people to grab hold of. He's saying, hey, this is the real you. Yes, you go through stuff. Yes, it's tough. But let me tell you the real you. You are subjected to every kind of hardship, but you're not distressed. He's giving you a pep talk. You're not. You're not distressed. You're not going to be, you know, you're not going to be dragged down. You don't see any way out, but you're not in despair. You're pursued, but you're not cut off. You're knocked down, but you do have life in you. Verse 16. I didn't put this one on the keynote presentation. But verse 16 of that same chapter in the Message Bible says, therefore we are not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. And I want to tell you, I want to remind you that no matter what you're going through, and maybe I know some of you in this room, you're probably not going through a whole lot right now, but I bet you know people who are. So you get to pass this good news along if this isn't you. But if it is you, I am telling you that God's grace is enough for you. His grace. Grace means he's going to do for you what you can't do. You don't have the power to go through something? He says, no problem. I'll give you that power. You don't have the peace? He just says, shh, I got that for you. Whatever you need, that's what grace does. It supplies it for you. And then the next two verses right after that says this. This is an amazing statement. Paul says the temporary light burden of our hardships. What? What? Temporary light burden. That's what he said. I'm going to finish this verse in a second, but just in case you forgot, this is the Paul who, 2 Corinthians 11, I have been flogged more severely, many times exposed to death. 5 times I've been given the 39 lashes by the Jews. 3 times I have been beaten with sticks. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I have been shipwrecked. 1 I have been in the open sea for a night and a day, continually traveling. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from brigands, in danger from my own people, and in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the towns, and in danger in the open country, in danger at sea, in danger from people masquerading as brothers. Ooh. I have worked with unsparing energy for many nights without sleep. I have been hungry and thirsty, and often altogether without food or drink. I have been cold and lacking clothing. Besides all that, then he says the anxiety he feels for all the churches. Anytime one weakens, I am weakened as well. And when anyone is made to fall, I burn in agony myself. That Paul said the temporary light burden of our hardship is earning us forever an utterly incomparable eternal weight of glory. Since what we aim for is not visible, but it's invisible. I pray for me and for every person in this room an eternal perspective on things. I pray that. I pray for that eternal perspective. This life is here and gone so fast. So the Lord says, you know, the wind, we're like grass and the wind blows over it and it's gone. It's that fast. Even those who live 80, 90, 100 years, it's still that fast. So what's it all about? It's about as many people as possible knowing Jesus, seeing the glory of Jesus through you in the short life that you're here, so that as many as possible are with Him forever. And in that place of forever, I'm telling you, we'll look back on this life and the things that seemed so hard, we won't even be able to feel it in His presence, in His glory. The things that await us, the things that are awaiting us, He says, on your best day, if you can imagine with all you got how good it is, you haven't even come close. That's what He says. It's my paraphrase. You know these people? Heidi and Roland Baker. They're the ones that Helen and Fred, you going to be with her? Yeah? Okay, so they're going to be with Heidi. There's a reason why I pulled this one out, why I pulled their picture out. Because I want to read to you a letter that she sent out a few days ago. This was July 18th. Which really, never mind. I'm just going to read it to you, just some of it. She writes this, "A Day in Our Lives." We went out on an outreach again last night. It was perfectly normal outreach, which is to say, practically the entire village gave their lives to the Lord on the first night. And you have to understand, they're going to Muslim villages who, by and large, have never heard the gospel. I could tell you a lot more about what she does. It's fascinating, but I'm just going to read the letter here. One young boy who had been deaf received his hearing. We fell asleep happy in our little circle of tents. The next day started for us at 3 a.m. when the children sleeping in the nearest mud-walled hut scrambled to sweep the dirt around the tents and peer through our netting. They were ecstatic to have visitors. I looked up to see stars shooting across the most incredible African sky, our own billion-star hotel. I came out to precious smiling faces all around me and thanked Jesus for the privilege of being in such a hungry place. I started boiling water for our most happy and comforting bush drink, Starbucks coffee. After serving about 50 of our friends, I also had the joy of leading the police who had guarded our tents and vehicles on this outreach to the Lord. They prayed with me to receive Jesus with their AK-47 still slung at their sides. After praying with the police, we went to a place called Mariata in the district of, I can't even say this word, Mesufai or something, to attend a double wedding. The local mud hut church was too small for all the guests, so we went out under a beautiful giant shade tree for the ceremony. The two couples sat on a grass mat, and all the local villagers worshiped with our pastors in celebration. We were then hugely blessed to be able to place gold wedding rings in each of these couples' hands. They collect wedding rings because they can't afford them there, and they give that to them as a gift. We gave them huge wedding rings. One of the couples had a newborn baby, 5 days old, and we also lifted her up there to be dedicated to the Lord Jesus. Then we began to walk to a nearby river so that we could baptize all the new believers who had joined us. As we came across a 5-year-old girl, Joanna, she had never walked in her life, and her knees were crusted all over with calluses from years of crawling in the dirt. I felt the Father's compassion for her, and so I picked her up by her two hands, and I called her to walk. I steadied her spindly legs, and I blessed her to come. Many of us cried when she did come, walking for the very first time. There was also a lot of clapping and rejoicing. What a joy. Imagine that we get to be alive for such a time as this. This is about half her letter. The other half talks about other people they baptized, 6 more little children that they brought to the Lord. You know, just some of the fun they had. She had with her daughter running across the African plain, and she says, "All praise to the Father. Great things He has done. Truly, the joy never ends. Thank you for praying for us, loving us, and remembering us. I do believe I've just had the perfect day." That's one day in the life of Roland and Heidi. The reason why I bring this up in light of what we've been talking about is because Heidi has seen, I'm going to guess, but probably hundreds of little African children die in her arms while she was praying for them, while she was holding them. She's also seen thousands and thousands of miracles. But just imagine one, let alone hundreds, of little children who literally die in your arms. Roland and Heidi, just recently, one of their good friends who was a pastor was beheaded. His head was chopped off by militant Muslims. And it wasn't long after that when actually Roland has undergone some severe health concerns, and he's still really, not at all fully himself. And I just want to tell you that that's the kind of things they have seen. In fact, I mean, Roland saw his good friend with his head cut off. He saw it. I share that with you because you can imagine they have quite a choice in front of them. When they see these kinds of things, when they are subjected to these kinds of horrific, you call them trials, it'd be much, it's a much stronger word than that. But they've got a choice, because they could say, "This was way too hard. I don't ever want to see this again. Forget it. I can't do this." And I'm sure there might be days where they say that in their honest, prayers to God, but I'm sure it doesn't last very long. Because if they did that, they would have never had this day where they saw another entire village come to the Lord. What the Lord often does through her is He will say, the Holy Spirit will speak to her of telling her to go ahead and call out the most difficult case. Somebody maybe who has never walked their entire life, and maybe they're 80 years old, come up here and you're going to walk. You'll see the power of Jesus. And of course, when it actually happens, the whole village comes to Jesus. But I wanted to share with you that no matter how good the glory gets, there's still going to be some really discouraging, hard times and hard things that we have to face and go through. But we have a choice, because our life is here and gone so fast. We really do have a choice of whether we want Jesus as glorified as possible through us. And it's a daily choice. He'll wait us out if we say, "God, this is too hard. I can't do this. I don't want to face the pain anymore." He'll wait us out. He loves us. He's not going to get angry. But I'll tell you what else He's going to do. He's going to keep pulling on you and pulling on you and pulling on you. And He's going to put things around you to make you really hungry to get back into the place of seeing the kingdom again. He's going to make you really hungry for it, so that you say, "Okay, Lord, I'm willing. Let's go." And He says, "Good. That's a good choice. I'm going to glorify myself through you some more." Let me read those. I'm back to 1 Peter again, verses 6 and 7. This is the word on the street. So it says this. Okay. So right now it's tough, and you might be pushed to the limit, but it's all part of the prep to get your spiritual muscles, which are better than gold medals, at peak fitness for the new era. We're talking about the one coming in Christ. Then you won't just scrape through qualification, but you'll peak just at the right time. And Jesus the Liberator will turn up, and He will get the credit. He'll get the attention. He'll get the respect that He deserves. That's all the honor, the power, and the glory. In case you didn't catch the translation there. He'll get it all. Do you know what's amazing about this book? It's written by Rob Lacey. In the back of the book, you read part of his journal where you see, I'm just going to read the first entry here. It says, March 2000. I was commissioned to write the word on the street. A week later, the doctor tells Sandra, his wife, and me, your bladder cancer is back. I stopped touring my shows due to illness. I'm told to try for a baby before treatment. Months of treatment, severe pain. So it goes on. There's several pages of his journal entries where, you know, about a year, year and a half later, it really looks like he's going to die. He's down to below 100 pounds. And, you know, the doctors are telling him basically to go home and live the last few days with your family. Actually, he comes back around and the Lord heals him. And in September, in about 2003, is when the word on the street gets out, gets published, okay? And then he writes this. He writes, why me? And what he's asking isn't, why me? Why did this happen to me? He's saying, why did I get healed when some others don't? I'm just going to read a portion of it. He says, but why me? Not her. Why me? Not them. It's not because I memorized the whole book of Job or wore an anointed prayer shawl or a special hospital robe. It's not because we cried mercy a million times. It's not because I wrote 100 prayers with rhymes. It's not because my wife deserves me or puts the sign reserved on me. It's not because my son needs me. Twin Tower workers were parents too. It's not because we've hung on, had a positive view, had some holy friends we knew. It's just that he pulled us through. We'll never see the subplots, the alternative scenes, until we get to heaven, read the script, and work on what it means. There's no recipe for what God gives free. There's no ace to play for grace. It's not that I toughed it out with cameras up my nether regions, tubes pushed through my back, needles in my falling veins, platinum pumped through every track. It's none of that. It's not that I kept a certain attitude. When interviewed, I have no more clue than you. I could have been a saint and still got stoned. Could have interceded for the lion with my name on it. Been compliant with my giant. I could have driven into Jerusalem on a clapped out Robin Reliant. And still, it might have been that I would die. And we might have no idea why. Would that have been God's will? Or is God's plan never to fill an empty grave? Or does he save each one of us? So how come some still die? And with answers so shy, I won't ask why. Right now, I just ask, how do I live? How do I die? I'll leave the questions lying there. I leave my lopsided, left, heavy, rational, rigorous brain. I'll just give God his fame, the always different, ever the same. I'll thank Emmanuel. I'll thank God with us. I'm well. And I don't know the exact date, but I know that the cancer came back and he died a year or two later. The question is, did Jesus get his glory from Rob Lacey? Absolutely. Absolutely. You all know that not a single person in this room has a guarantee of tomorrow. What we got is today. And a lot of our fear can be based on oh no, you know, what if I don't have this time? What if? You know what? All we have is today. All we have is the Lord right now, actually. And if we can live that way of saying, God, I don't have all the whys answered, but you know what? Here I am. Have your way. However you can best glorify yourself, that's what I want. However you can use me to love people, to bring, to usher in the kingdom, even though I don't always see every person healed, I'm going to keep going. Because just like Heidi and Roland Baker, just like Rob Lacey, we all have a choice when it gets tough. Do we stop and throw in the towel and say, that was just too hard? I can't do this anymore? I mean, we can. It's just that once you do that, you stop living. And so the alternative is the only real answer we have, the only real choice we have, which is I got to keep going with Jesus. And as long as we make him the goal and not the miracle, that's where we won't be disappointed. See, because he doesn't disappoint. His presence, like tonight, I don't know anybody who, if you engaged with the Lord in worship, if you just told yourself, I'm going to worship him because he's worthy, I can't see how you could be disappointed. In fact, I've said this, and Blazing Fire is, I don't know, 8 years old or something now. And I can't remember a time of leaving here on a Saturday night feeling discouraged and disappointed. I can't. Because we've made his presence our goal, our prize. And when that's the goal, that's where you won't be disappointed. Now, I understand we're still hungry for more. I get that. You know, like we haven't experienced enough of him yet. I understand that. There's that holy frustration of always wanting more. And I'm telling you, that's from God. He's like, yeah, as good as that was, there's more. Come in closer. So there's a frustration. I understand that. But when we choose his presence as our prize, that can never be taken away from us. It will never be taken away from us. Sometimes the miracles, the things we're praying for, they do not happen the way that we've asked. Sometimes we're sure it's going to happen, and it doesn't happen. Sometimes we are sure that we're sure that we're sure that we're sure that we heard the Lord that it's going to happen, and it doesn't happen. And those are the times that are especially difficult, especially discouraging, because we put our hope into that. And he says, I know it's hard. And I know it hurts. And I know you don't understand it all yet. But you can trust me that I'm good. I'm for you. I love you. I'm working all things out for your good. Even if it doesn't seem that way to you, you're going to have to trust me that I'm a really, really good daddy. And I know how to take care of my kids. So I'll cry with you, because I do hurt with you, he says. I'll cry with you. And then we're going to get back up on that horse, or we're going to keep going. And there's a reason why, because he is building up a victorious army who knows who they are in Christ. He is building up an army who knows that love is the goal, who are so smitten with Jesus, so in love with Jesus, that they're going to do whatever he says, whatever it takes, knowing that one day soon we are all going to be with him. And everything that was so hard here is going to be a faded, distant memory. So just in case you didn't know what he's doing, 1 Peter 1:7, the next verse, or this is the same verse in the Message Bible. Pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. This is Ron Diacini's portrait of the refiner's fire. And it says, he masterfully uses the furnace and the anvil to represent God's tools to refine man. Through the process, though the process is often painful, God uses situations and circumstances to mold us into his image. Knowing that God is gentle and kind makes the furnace bearable, because with the fire and the anvil comes the grace he supplies to get us through it, to come out as gold. What a wonderful reminder that the refiner's fire gives us during the trials in our lives. Not only does God have to mold us into a tool fit for his use, but from time to time, he has to pound out the bends that come from years of use. And something I read years ago about refiner's fire is one of the ways that workers know when the gold has been refined enough, how do you know if it's purified, is they can see their own reflection. And so when the Father's looking at us, that's what he's looking for. He's looking for his own reflection out of us. It's exactly what he's doing. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But all of us who are Christians have no veils on our faces, but reflect like mirrors the glory of the Lord. We are transfigured in ever-increasing splendor into his own image, and the transformation comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. He's doing it. And he uses the tough stuff. In fact, I'll tell you that a lot of the stuff we blame on the devil probably isn't. I'm just saying. I'm not saying the devil doesn't wreak havoc. I'm just saying we have a tendency to say anything bad, it's got to be the devil. Well, not always. There are certain things that the Lord is orchestrating so that you will look just like Jesus. And here in Romans 8, 29 and 30, this is astounding, really. God decided beforehand who were the ones destined to be molded to the pattern of his Son. That would be us. So that he, Jesus, should be the eldest of many brothers. That includes all you women out there. You're all his younger brothers. And I'll say sisters. It was those so destined that he called. And those that he called, he justified. That means he made you right with him. He destined you to be like Jesus. He called you. You are mine. And he said, I know you can't do this. So I have justified you through Jesus. When you agree that Jesus paid the price for you on the cross, when you say, I know I can't do this, Jesus, it was all you, by that very act of faith, you are made right with God. You're justified. Justified means that you have been tried and found not guilty. Let that one sink in a minute, because it's true. When you say yes to Jesus, his sacrificial death on your behalf, your trial's already taken place. That thing you're afraid of, those of you who are in Christ, if you're afraid of that upcoming trial, whether you're going to make it or not, you're afraid of the wrong thing. Our fear of the Lord should be in that, God, I want you to get every ounce of glory you can out of me while I'm alive. I don't want to waste it. I don't want to go back to my old habits and get involved in things that are pulling me away from you and pulling away from my destiny, my glory in you. That's something to be afraid of. That's a fear of the Lord. But not fear of a coming judgment. And I could show you scripture after scripture that says that judgment's already done. And God, for those who are in Christ, God has already judged in your favor. Tried and found not guilty, justified. And those that he has justified, he has brought into glory. I understand there is more glory coming, but I'm telling you that is a present word that Paul is speaking. Not someday, but he has already brought you into his glory. And getting back to 1 Peter, yeah. That's Stephanie and Lonnie. I picked faces of a couple people who continuously display the glory of God. If you want to know what the glory of God looks like, there you go. That's what it looks like. And this is why. You have not seen him, talking about Jesus, yet you love him. And still, without seeing him, you believe in him. And so you are already filled with a joy so glorious that it cannot be described. And you are sure of the goal of your faith, that is, the salvation of your souls. So my last encouragement to you is this, that your joy is in him. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Your joy is in Him because He has chosen you, because He wants you, because you're going to be with Him forever. It's a done deal. You might as well get used to it. That will fill you with joy. That's where your joy comes from. Not in whether everything is working out the way that you think it should. That's a problem when that's where our joy comes from. Actually, you won't find any joy there, even when it works out the way you want to. That's not where your joy is coming from. You are the most blessed of all people because God is for you, because He's working all things out for you. That is absolutely true. But I want to also tell you, and that working all things out for you isn't going to always look like what you think. Nevertheless, it does not make that truth any less true. He's working all things out. And the main thing is, He's going to make sure that you come before Him shining in His glory with the faith that He has built in you a lot of times through the tough stuff. It's where He's taking you. And He said, Philippians 1:6, He said, I'm going to finish what I started in you. I will finish what I started in you. I will do it. I felt like tonight I personally just got such a breakthrough. And it happened in worship, obviously. You saw I was a free man up here. I'm telling you, that feels good. It feels really good to just get really free. I want to encourage all of you, whatever that looks like, you don't have to look like me. I don't have to look like someone else up here. So I'm not saying you got to do that to be free, but I am saying that whatever you need to do to, you know what I mean, to get your arms unfolded and to say, I'm actually going to step out and worship Him, do it. You know, if you need to step in the aisles and worship and get on the floor, whatever it is. But there is something about that act of worship, about choosing to worship Him because He's good, that breaks. It is that two-edged sword we talked about in Psalm 149. It's that double-edged sword that you have in your hand. That's what worship does. It cuts off the junk that's holding you down, that's discouraging you. It really does. Do you guys have it here, the drums, or no? You want to? All right, go get them. Okay. This is what we're going to do. I know there's a handful of you who are here for either the first time or one of the first times. We kind of do things here a little different. I know you haven't noticed that yet. But mainly what we want to do is whatever the Lord prompts us to do. And I was kind of thinking we'd have some, earlier I was thinking we might have some prophetic teams up here just to encourage, which we still might, I don't know. But when I was back there tonight and that drumming was, it was just doing something for me. I was actually doing some chanting to the drums of truth that God was using to break me out of whatever it was that the enemy was trying to hold me down with. I just want to encourage that tonight, that we need, I want to encourage all of you that this is a time for you to break through. Like, I do not want you to leave here feeling discouraged in any way. You're not allowed. So let me do this. I'm going to pray for you. In fact, I'd like you to stand if you would. Some of you are thinking, I wish you had asked that about 45 minutes ago so I could stretch. Because I just want to make some declarations over you, some encouragement. I want to encourage you in the Lord. So, I mean, you can put your hands out if you want, but just know you're receiving something. All right? Oh, wind of the Spirit, I pray right now for you to blow. Holy Spirit, blow the wind of encouragement from heaven. I'm asking that you just let that come. Begin to blow away the lies. Wow. Holy Spirit, blow. Just blow, Holy Spirit. This is a word I got earlier for some of you. I speak this word over you. This comes straight out of Scripture. Wake up, O sleeper. Wake up, O sleeper. Wake up, O sleeper. Wake up out of your slumber. For some of you, you've just gotten in a rut and just kind of going through life, and you've kind of forgotten the excitement of the kingdom. And to you, I say, wake up, wake up. I say to your spirit inside of you, wake up, wake up, wake up. Wake up, wake up to who you are in Christ. Wake up to the excitement of the kingdom of God within you. Wake up to expect different kingdom realities coming into your life and into the lives of those around you. Wake up, wake up, wake up, O sleeper. Wake up, wake up. Just speak to your spirit and I say, wake up. It's time. It's time to rise up. It's time to arise into who you are in Christ. Whoa. Whoa. Wow. More, 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 more. Father, thank you for that river that flows from your throne, that river of life filled with love, filled with peace, filled with joy. Thank you for that river that is flowing right now. Let that river flow right through this place, right through our hearts, straight from your heart to ours, God, straight from your throne, right through here. Whoa. Lord, I'm asking that that river would just cover over us, flood us, God. We don't want to stick our toe in it. We want to be immersed, saturated, drenched in your river of life, that river of life. So I prophesy over each one of you, life, life, life. Some of you, I think there's just one or two of you, but you've actually been in a place of so much discouragement, you haven't wanted to live lately. And then God says, no, 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 no. I'm going to get my glory. My glory through you will be seen. Do not give up. Do not give up hope. Do not give up hope. Do not give up hope. Because I'm the author of life. And I speak my life into you. I speak my life into you. I speak my purposes into you. You got a lot of living to do. You have a lot of living to do, both in this life and forevermore. Go ahead and give us a beat. Give us something. Life, life, life. Can't give up. I won't give up. I can't give up. I won't give up. I can't give up. I won't give up. I'm victorious. I'm victorious. I can't give up. I won't give up. I can't give up. I won't give up. I can't give up. I won't give up. I'm victorious in Christ. Victorious in Christ. I'm victorious in Christ. Victorious in Christ. I want to encourage you to say it out loud. I can't give up. I won't give up. I can't give up. I won't give up. I can't give up. I won't give up. I'm victorious in Christ. Victorious in Christ. I'm victorious in Christ. Victorious in Christ. And I belong. I belong. I belong to the King of Kings. I belong. Yes, I belong. I belong to the King of Kings. I am His and He is mine. I am His and He is mine. I am His and He is mine forever. I am His and He is mine. I am His and He is mine. I am His and He is mine forever. Victorious in Christ. I'm victorious in Christ. I'm victorious in Christ. I'm victorious in Christ. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. 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 Breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. No. Can you hear it okay? No more discouragement, no more depression. No more despair, but victory. Victory. Victory in Christ. Victory in Christ. Victory in Christ. Victory in Christ. Now, some of you need to get on this microphone because now you know what I'm doing. You know what I'm declaring. So if you got something like that to declare, then come up. I'm a new creation in Christ. New creation in Christ. I am a new creation in Christ. The old is gone. The old is gone. Kura pata sita kura kira sunda kura kira. Kura danda sita kura chanda kura sata kura. Kiriranda Seda Dora, Kiriranda Sora Kira.
Ha! Ha! Hey! Hey! Yeah, yeah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Ha, 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 ha. Jesus. Ha, 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 ha. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, 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 hey. Breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. We're gonna break through. We're gonna break through. We're gonna break through. We're gonna break through. Jesus. 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 Jesus.
Jesus is a jewel that I have found. He has placed my feet on solid ground. And when I take one step, He'll take two, because the Holy Spirit guides everything I do. And that's the thing that I love the most. I love being filled with the Holy Ghost. So if you want the best, don't you settle for less. In Christ, you'll pass the test. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. You're a brand new creature with a brand new start. You'll have new life, one without strife, filled with the love of Jesus Christ. And if you think I'm boasting, you better relax, because when I speak God's word, I'm speaking the facts.
To the mountain, we going to the mountain, we going to the mountain, the mountain of victory, we going to the mountain, the mountain of victory. We going to get our possession, all that has our name on it. We are victorious, 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 we are victorious. Hey! Hey! Hey, 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 We are victorious. We are victorious. We are victorious.
Gay. Woo! Hey! Jesus is my joy. 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 Wow. Wow. Sango Napa, Sango Napa, Yekete, Sango Napa, Sango Napa, Sango Napa, Yekete, Sango Napa, Sango Napa, Sango Napa, Kete, Sango Napa, Sango Napa, Sango Napa, Yete, Hey!
Yeshua, Lord
All right. Can you hold just for a minute? Just for a minute. All right. So what we're gonna do? I want to stop to just extend a blessing. I know that there's some who've had to go, and that's totally okay. I want to extend a blessing to you and to let you know that also if you need prayer, I want to make sure you get some, all right? That there are a lot of people up here who will pray for you. If you don't know of somebody, you know, you can come up to me, come up to one of the leaders maybe that you saw up here tonight. But just make sure that you don't leave here. If you need prayer, make sure you get some before you go. And I declare over each one of you the favor of God. I declare over you the blessing of the Father. And I declare over you that Christ in you can do all things. That nothing is impossible because of Christ who lives in you. That you have been given the Spirit of Yahweh. The Spirit of Jehovah lives inside of you. You are a sign and a wonder. And I declare that that light that is in you, that love that flows through you, will go and infect people with the love and light of Christ wherever you go. That you are going to make a huge difference. So I declare that that encouragement that you have received tonight will keep increasing and increasing and increasing in Jesus' name. From glory to glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you guys want to keep going, you can if you're feeling it. If you want to, please do. Otherwise, again, if you need prayer, please get some.